Hey, everybody, it's Rick. And if you're enjoying the Vertafore Insurance podcast, you should definitely check out Accelerate, powered by NetView. This is our huge InsurTech conference happening in April of 2020. And it is the event to attend for everything from networking, thought leadership, learning how to grow your agency, meeting new technology partners, and much, much more. Accelerate is happening in Minneapolis from April 29th through May 2nd. And you can learn more at www.netviewaccelerate.com. That's all one word, netviewaccelerate.com.
Welcome to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast with Rick Fox. We're here to talk about the industry with some of its biggest influencers. From technology, trends, and current events, if it's happening in insurance, you'll hear about it here. Make sure to tune in every week and join in on the conversation with us on social media at Vertafore. And now, here's Rick Fox.
Happy 2020, everybody, and welcome back to the Vertafore Insurance Podcast. As we start the new year, I just wanted to tee it up and let you all know how thankful we are that you're listening in. We have just continued to grow, and our following has gotten to be something that I'm very proud of. This year, you will hear from a bunch more incredible guests, great content, all of my wonderful insure rants, and I say wonderful about myself often, so that's that. We wanted to start the year off with a bang, so we decided that the person, who better to do that than Ryan Hanley? Now, Ryan and I have known each other for a long time, so this one's a little longer than some of the other ones, but you might expect that with a guy like Ryan Hanley and a guy like Rick Fox. Both talk a lot, both have a lot to say, and are passionate about what we do, but here's our first episode. Everyone out there, we need subscriptions. We need you to go subscribe. Most of you are, but go subscribe. Do me that solid. I need you to connect with me on LinkedIn. Here's why. I want you to be able to share when I post on Thursdays, when I post the episode. I want you to share it with your universes so we can spread the word. Also, send me a note in LinkedIn and tell me topics that you think would be great for an insure rant as we build out our calendar for the whole year. And I want to make sure the information that's coming to you guys is still impactful and helpful. So without further ado, we start 2020 with my friend and insurance rock star, Ryan Hanley. Welcome to the show, man.
Rick, thanks for having me, dude. This is a lot of fun. I was thinking in prep, I was thinking about all those virtual conferences or you get the four cats on the screen and we all be like yelling at each other. Like
the round tables.
Yeah, those are awesome. I love those things. So,
well, welcome to the show. And more importantly, and I think what's so great for me and everyone else in this insurance industry is welcome back. Welcome back to the industry. I'm so glad to have you back. When you left, I was happy for where you were headed and trying new things, but I felt like we had a little bit of a hole in content and thought leadership that we needed. And so I'm happy to have you back, man.
Well, I appreciate that. I think that I appreciate that very much. I think there have been a lot of people who have stepped up and done a tremendous job, and I just wholeheartedly think that the industry is pointing in the right direction. You know, I had someone ask me the other day, I had someone insinuated, like they were talking about peak. You know how, like, if you, the media is like new thing is like peak everything, right? Like peak this, peak that. And someone said, like, you know, oh, well, we've already hit peak independent insurance agent. And my first thought on that was that's probably fair. It's certainly arguably fair. But I don't know that it's necessarily true. Here's what I'd say. I don't think it has to be true. And what encourages me is that getting to spend 9 months as a voyeur to the industry, because even though I took a job as the CEO of a growing fitness franchise, I couldn't pull myself from the industry. It had been a decade and a half of my life, and my wife still owns an independent agency. So, so I was still very much watching. I was just watching, and it was, I don't know that I would, I don't know that I'm willing to concede that we've hit peak independent agent. Maybe in terms of pure numbers, if we're just counting physical agencies, but in terms of impact on the insurance industry, I'm not sure that I'm willing to concede that.
Well, I would agree. I don't think we have. In fact, I think we have some room to grow only in regards to the way we operate. And, you know, obviously, you know what I do, you know who I work for. We are a tech company, but I think that the tech piece is still the piece where once that the insurtech, not only the insurtech is there. Like, there's plenty of options, plenty of ideas, plenty of solutions for people. But when it really comes down to the adoption and engagement in that, I think that's where we're still headed. So let me put, here's what's going to happen. You and I are going to ramble on for days here, but let me start this by, if there is anybody, which I am almost positive there's not, that doesn't know you, this would be interesting for them, as well as the idea that maybe there's a few that don't kind of know your story. So give me the 2-3 minute version of how we got here, because then the next part is, you know, having stepped away and then coming back. I want to talk about that, but just kind of the Ryan Hanley journey, so we can get everybody on that train.
Yeah. So I'm sure there are people who haven't heard it, but basically, approximately 15 years ago or so, my then wife, now or then girlfriend, now wife's father, offered me a job as a producer at his independent agency, the Murray Group Insurance Services, which is located right here in Albany, New York, which is where my wife and I live now. And wanting to marry his daughter, I said yes to that proposition.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah, there was, I saw the clearest path to getting his blessing was taking that job. So that's what I did. You know, I would say before I took that job, I saw sales as a dirty word. I didn't see myself as a salesman. I still pictured sales as like used car dealers. And I always thought, I don't know, I just had really weird conceptions or preconceptions about what a salesperson was. And I think carrying that into the job, I was a terribly poor performer as a salesperson for a long time. But thankfully, and I consider myself very blessed to have worked for my father-in-law, because he is an all-time insurance salesman and really value provider. And the way that he approaches his business, and in particular, and I think this molded me in my viewpoint on many things, he's a storyteller, and he would never self-describe him as that, but his office was right down the hall from mine. I could hear every word he ever said to every client who he ever sold insurance to while I was there. And he would just tell story after story after story. And I started to pick up on those. And as I did, I realized that if I use stories to sell, I could be more effective. And then, but unfortunately not effective enough. About a year and a half into that journey, he, basically called me in his office and said, "Ryan, I don't think this career is for you." and almost being fired by your father-in-law is a tough day. So something had to change. And it's why I'm a believer in serendipity and the muse and we won't go into the philosophical nature of the other side of my life. But I just happened to have this experience, which I've explained many times, I won't go into detail, in which the internet was forced upon me. In order to connect with someone that I wanted to connect with, I had to get a LinkedIn account, is a long story short. And it just opened my mind and my eyes and in a whole new world of, if I take the stories that my father-in-law is telling to the clients that walk in our office and I put them in varying versions online, I can pull people in. Instead of us, instead of me putting 45,000 miles a year on my car, dropping business cards off at every small business within 50 miles, I can actually get those people to call me, and it transformed my career. So I spent a total of just over 8 years at the Murray Group, at which point I think I just needed to go try something a little bigger. And I joined Trusted Choice and built Agency Nation, that platform, with help from my team. And many of potentially some of the people who are listening to this, just meant to be a collaborative platform, and it was. We partnered with technology organizations like Vertafore, like many others, with many state associations. And really, I'd like to believe that's probably been my greatest contribution to the industry, is helping tell the stories of independent insurance agents around the country through the Agency Nation platform.
Well, Ryan, let me cut you off there, because I think it, what a contribution that was, but I think the way you did it was what made it so impactful, is you were able to do it in a way that people not only heard you, because there's a lot of great people out there that aren't heard, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You did a great job of getting that into the framework of this industry. So, I mean, I kudos on that, because not only the contribution, but the your ability to connect people and connect those dots was really impactful for this industry.
Well, that's incredibly meaningful to me to hear you say that, because I firmly believe that you need an aim in order to be successful. And the singular aim of Agency Nation, the singular aim of that platform and all the work that was ever done there, was to have insurance professionals of every regard wake up in the morning and think what they do is cool. Because what I found very early in my career is that that insurance agency owners and producers and technologists and CSRs and carrier reps, we all walked around like we were a bunch of nerdy buffoons who were scared to tell people what we did for a living. And I was like, no way. Like, have you ever gotten drunk with an insurance agent? It's amazing. Like, we need to talk about the fact that what we do is important and vital. Yes. And there wouldn't be skyscrapers in Manhattan if it weren't for an insurance. And I think we all intrinsically know that, but I think, you know, what we wanted to do at Agency Nation, and what my goal really was, and still to this day, is to have everyone who works in our industry be able to walk around proud and go, I work in insurance, right? And that's way different than what it used to be, which is like, oh, you know, I do insurance for a living. And you kind of cower, and you can even probably hear in my voice as my chest shrinks a little bit. And I want everyone to kind of shoulders back, say, I work in insurance. I do important work. And we should feel that way. And that was kind of what we were trying to do with everything we created.
Well, and it really worked. I mean, it did. And the Elevate conference was kind of the shining star of everything you did. And that became a must attend. I mean, that became something that, what was great about it, and this was before most, I go to a lot of shows, and more they are well attended, and there's a different tone, there's a different feel in the people that attend, that they're there for the right reasons. It used to be that technology was a you know, a four letter word or a necessary evil, and they had to go because we had to do things. Elevate always felt to me like, yeah, the people that were there, they got it. They were there for the right reasons, and they wanted to improve. They wanted to stick their chest out and say, I'm not only in insurance, but I'm doing things that other industries are doing, cutting edge things. I am moving forward and building my agency the right way. So I always felt that about it. And I again, kudos to everything that you did there. Just an incredible influence on the industry. And I've been around a lot longer than you, Ryan. I won't tell you how much older I am than you, but you know, I'm one of those old insurance guys, and I always thought I was pretty cool, but you've met me, so you know. But at the same time, I thought I was cool because I was a business owner. So the fact that we've changed this industry and there it is actually in a direction that we can all be proud of from every perspective, and I give you some of that credit. I mean, that was a big thing you did.
Well, I think I would love to believe that I played a part, but I'll tell you, the watching people bounce off each other is just, it's like, it's so invigorating. I mean, that was the inspiration for me. You know, I watched people meet each other and have conversations and that would have not have met each other before. And yeah, it was a lot of fun. So unfortunately, my time at Agency Nation and Trusted Choice had to come to an end. Part of that was, I think, me evolving from being a creator into more of a leadership role, and there just wasn't really a place for me there in that capacity. And I joined Bold Penguin. So I moved over to become the chief marketing officer of Bold Penguin, which is a tremendous piece of technology run by Ilya Bodner and his team. And they do a wonderful job. I have nothing bad to say about Bold Penguin. And if anything, I was actually texting with Ilya yesterday and just, you know, I think they're doing wonderful work, and it's an important piece of technology in our industry. And frankly, if I lived in Columbus, Ohio, I'd probably still be there, but
yeah.
I just, you know, that came to an end for very amicable reasons. I have a 6 and a 4-year-old and I couldn't be on an airplane every day. And,
right.
So that was fine. And, I was presented then, just, you know, as life works, I was presented with the opportunity to become the CEO of a fitness franchise, as I think I mentioned before. And,
yep.
And that, was amazing for a period of time. The founder of the gym, had 6 locations and he said, look, I'm a gym guy. I want this to be 150 locations in the next 5 years. And I need a business guy to help me do that. So he hired me as a CEO and he focused on the gym stuff and I focused on the business stuff. Unfortunately, after about 9 months, he decided that he also wanted to focus on the business stuff. And, I showed up at 8:30 in the morning on a Monday and 6 minutes later was handed my hat and asked to leave. So, wow. So that was to be honest with you, it wasn't tremendously fun in that moment, but you know, 3 months, 2.5 months, however long it's been removed from it, I learned so many important things about running the full spectrum of a business that I hadn't had before, that I think will only add value to the work that I do moving forward. So I don't think on it unkindly. I have learned that you can never trust a founder. I think that's just safe for anyone who is not a founder. Don't trust a founder. Doesn't mean you can't work with them, and it doesn't mean you shouldn't work with them, but remember,
it doesn't mean they're not trustworthy. It means just get it in writing, right? I mean,
just
make sure you got a contract.
Yes.
Well, I would say that their loss is absolutely our gain. I saw you post that you were back in the industry and you probably had a LinkedIn note from me that day, like, dude, so glad to have you back. And let's get together and do one of these podcasts, because I really think that this is your calling, and maybe that little, you know, deviation off the original plan did nothing but helped you build for what's next. And I'm excited to see what's next. And now that is founder and chief strategist at Hanley Media Lab. Yep. And that is your own gig. That is what you're doing. I know you've got a lot of things that you're working on. We'll leave those for a different conversation. And that was the teaser, so people can follow you and find out what's going on.
Yep.
But having been, so we talked originally when you got back, it was probably 6 weeks ago now-ish. And now you've had 6 weeks since you and I talked. And you've got more perspective. You've got an idea of what's changed, what's different. And not that you ever left, but now you're digging in. Just talk to me about, you know, what it was like looking at the industry from the outside when you were with the fitness company, and now being back in and diving back in. Just talk to me about what that looks like and what's in your mind.
Yeah. So I'd say the very first thing that coming back in, that I wanted to change about how I interacted with the industry, because I, from the outside, I could see it as an issue. I think it's an issue that's rapidly, I don't know if I'd use rapidly, but it is diminishing. And I think it's an incredible positive. And it's something I think all of us can be more intentional of as we go. And that's tribalism. You know what I mean? Like, we all had our sides. You're either I'm on this team, or I'm on this team, or, you know, I only go to these meetings and I don't go to these meetings. And like, look, like, if you're in any space for long enough, you develop friends and enemies or whatever. And that's going to happen. But I don't think that compartmentalizing our conversations helps us grow. And, I was very heartened to see, or at least watch in part, and to come back in and start to see that, you know, many of the old barriers are starting to come down, and that people are talking across different platforms. And even if you don't agree, or even if you're competitors, I think it's such a small space and people move around, and it just doesn't make sense to create to not have conversations. I think it's okay to have combative conversation, respectfully combative conversations around topics that we may disagree on. I would rather that any day than not talking because, you know, you're not in our group. And I've started to see that come down. So I think that's a huge positive. And I think that's a big positive towards what we began this conversation around peak independent agent.
Yeah.
I think that is very important to us continuing to grow and influence as an organization or as an entity, as a group of entities. That's incredibly important. So that was great.
Well, and I think, like, if you look at it from my perspective, I agree. You know, I agree, and here's the proof of that. You know, there's another large AMS company out there that, you know, is what would be considered a Vertafore rival, and that would be Applied. I'm hoping that people listening in on this are Applied customers. Let's break down those walls and let's just get better. Like, this podcast was built around that not being a Vertafore thing, although thankfully we have the platform that we do. And obviously I believe in my products, but at the end of the day, to your point, if those conversations, even if they're combative, if they're constructive and not destructive, which is what I think is happening, is people are more willing to hear other perspectives than they used to, then I think we're all headed in a really strong direction. So I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah. That's wonderful to hear you say, because to be honest with you, someone else sitting in your seat 5 years ago may not have said that. Right. And I think you're the right guy to say it. I mean, you have the perspective to be in a company like Vertafore to say that kind of thing. And I think that's just part of, I think that is the hope that I've seen kind of coming back in, and it's a wonderful thing.
I agree. I totally agree. So with that voyeuristic approach that you got to look at from outside, now how good does it feel to kind of, now you're hands on again, like you're back in it? Like,
oh, it feels so good. Feel?
Good.
I gotta figured, be honest. It feels good because I, you know, there is something. I guess I've always appreciated being the underdog in insurance from a sales and marketing perspective. Like, we just approach it like underdogs. Like, we just try really hard not to do all the things that everyone else is doing. So it's fun to kind of come in and be able to take organizations that are structurally very sound and run properly. And it's just gas on the fire, right? I guess that's really what my role has always been. I'm not a great convincer because I don't want to convince people of things. Like, if you don't believe that contextual advertising or personalizing communications or systematizing your sales and marketing business or injecting humanity, like, if you don't believe in these core principles that I believe in, we're not a good fit to work together. And that's completely fine. God bless you. But the people who do see those things but just need help moving forward, like, whether you never actually pay me, you just consume my content or work with vendors that I recommend or whatever, like, that's great. Like, we don't have to be customers of mine. I just love having those people in my ecosystem. And because that gasoline on the fire mentality, like, that's what gets me up in the morning, is like someone who's hungry but just needs a little push. And whether it's a YouTube video or a podcast or whatever, you know what I mean? Just like retweeting something, you know, Sydney or Jason Cass or whoever, Chris Paradiso or, you know, whoever, you know, some awesome thing that they put together. Like, that's the whole deal, man. That's what gets me up in the morning.
Okay. So let's do a little shift here, because I think this has been already, just to kind of hear you talk, I'm sure people are out there listening. I got Dylan, you know, shoot me a chat on the other side, like, man, this guy's great. It's your passion. No, it's your passion that speaks. So, like, we really haven't dug into anything yet except kind of talked.
Yeah.
And it's already been very important and very informational, but let's dig in. Like, we got, you know, let's talk about, like,
so, you want some tactics? You want some strategies?
Yeah, let's do something. Okay. Like, let's say, like, 5, 3, 7, whatever that number is. Like, I always like in this podcast, I like to get people something they can go change tomorrow. Like, tomorrow morning, they get to the office and they say, hey, that thing that I learned on the VIP, I'm going to try that today. So let's do some tactical conversation here. And it can even be, it can be a few, it can be a bunch if you want to rattle them off.
Here's what I'll say, Rick.
Okay,
go. I will absolutely not get to 5 because I'm way too verbose for that.
You and I in a room, how do we keep this thing to 30 minutes?
but that being said, let me give you at least one very strategic one, and I'll give one very tactical, and if we can hit more, that'll be awesome. How about that?
Okay, perfect. Awesome. Let's do that. Okay.
Go.
So I'm going to start with the very strategic and then we'll do the very tactical because everyone likes tactics. So I'm going to keep you on the line. So you're getting the max listen here. The very strategic is one of the lessons that I learned when I was with Metabolic, that's the name of the fitness company that I was with, was the importance and the importance is the wrong word. The crucial nature of contextualizing how you speak to the market. So I'm going to, that might not mean a lot of things to a lot of people. So let me break that down.
A lot of big words there, Ryan.
Yeah. That's my speech patterns make my wife crazy. I just can't help it. So what I mean by that is let's move out of insurance for a second. And I'm going to give you what I mean in the fitness industry, and then we're going to apply it to insurance because this is one of the more important things that I think I'm bringing back to the space. When I was in the fitness space, even though I was the CEO, being that I had been a chief marketing officer for the past 6 years, obviously I spent a lot of time with our marketing team.
Right.
And just to give context to insurance agencies, we had a 10-person team, three of which worked in the marketing department, not including myself. So I feel like most insurance organizations are completely under indexed in terms of the size of their marketing team. They just, we're just not putting enough effort into that part of our business. So this is a 10-person team, 30% of which were purely marketing professionals. So just for whatever reason. Okay. So in the fitness industry, yes, it is a more visual business, right? You get to take pictures and videos of sexy people sweating and share them. And people want to see that stuff. So from a pure click, watch, view perspective, your vanity metrics will most likely be higher pound for pound versus an insurance industry. Right. However, the competition can do the exact same thing. Everyone has sexy people sweating at their gym that they can take pictures and videos
ripped
of.
Ripped and sweating. Yep.
Yes. So in the fitness industry, that doesn't set you apart. What sets you apart is being able to define an image and a series of text in a contextual way. So what I mean by that is by making it very specific, very meaningful to Sally Jones, the 37-year-old mom of two who works in a state office all day, right? Mm-hmm. How do we craft a message and visuals, whether they're static visuals like an image or they're moving pictures or it's an actual video? How do we craft the messaging and the imagery which speaks specifically to her that gets Sally to walk into one of our gyms? Because we know once she walks into one of our gyms and gets a taste of our product, we've got her hooked because we have a good product. And I think every independent agent, every insurance service provider, whether a technologist or whomever, carrier professional listening to this, could you wouldn't be working there if you didn't believe the product was good. So just like a really good drug dealer, you need to get that first taste, right? And in the fitness industry, it had to be contextualized because if I showed an image and it was all about heavy weights and strength and some big dude, Jack, you know, doing really badass burpees, Sally, that doesn't speak to Sally. Like she doesn't, that's not what's meaningful to her, right? Like maybe for her, she was really into, and again, this is why you have to test and all this kind of stuff. Like for her, she might be more into some of the mobility strength exercises that we did. So no weights, you know, almost like it was like some of the movements we did were like, you would do some of them in yoga, more of the strength yoga moves, the moves in yoga that were very, like we would do some of that to really open you up and it doesn't matter but some of those moves might really speak to her. So we want to get, a woman who, a female who's maybe closer to Sally's age, that 35 to 50 range, doing some of these more strength plus mobility exercises, and the language would speak more to, hey, you know, you're sitting in your office all day, but you still want to be strong. And, you know, here, you know, so there's all different messaging that speaks specifically to that individual that we wanted to draw in. Cause we knew if Sally came, she'd start to get in shape. And then her husband would look at himself in the mirror and go, oh crap, my wife looks great and I'm a slob. I need to go to Metabolic now. And that's how we would get people. And, you know, what I just described to you was one ad that we would run. That I just blasted through one ad that we would run. in insurance, that would be the only ad that you would ever run ever in the entire year. And it would be generic John and Tom and Sally with some generic language about an auto policy discount that you get by combining your home and auto. And we'd be like, yep, we're advertising. We're good. It's just, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't work. Certainly not right. If you don't want to stand out. So when I look at our
space, that's the key, Ryan. It's not, I mean, like, that's just checking a box, yes. Which is what our industry does. Is it's so much like, yeah, I'm advertising, or yeah, I'm doing SEO, or I'm whatever that might be. But
I would rather they didn't do it. Because it's,
exactly.
I would rather they didn't do it.
Somewhere else.
I've been saying this for 10 years.
Yep.
Please either do the things that I try to teach, or and it doesn't have to be just the things I teach. I try to share as many people who I think are teaching the right way. So if you don't like me, or you don't like, because I talk fast, or I'm East Coast, or occasionally it's really hard for me not to curse. I just like it. Like if you don't like that, then go listen to one of these other 10 people. You know, there's all right. kinds of good people up and down our space, in and out of our space, who are teaching the same quality techniques that maybe you resonate with. I don't care that you learn from me. What I care is that you either do the work the way it needs to be done so that it provides value to your customers and to your business, or don't do the work at all because you're just wasting time. And right. I see some of the agents that are really starting to grab contextual advertising. And a great example of this is Chris Green. He does flood insurance, nationwide flood insurance. And since he is adapted, and I got to give a shout out to Nick Ayers and his Made You Look video marketing course, because that's where Chris learned these tactics from. He's been doing highly contextual advertising for flood insurance. I mean, literally flying to parts of the country to talk about the nuances of flood and flood coverage and the risks and all the stuff that goes into it. And he is dominating, like growing his business incredibly rapidly because he took the time to create messaging which spoke specifically to people in deserts, desert climates, to mountainous climates, to, you know, river basins, to I don't know flood insurance that well. So, you know, but he has spent time talking, and then he targets the ads and he does all the things he needs to do. So I look at that, and this is, again, this is a project. This is work. This is something that it takes. You either need to learn this for yourself, or you need to hire someone to help you learn it, or do it for you. But if you can do this work, you will immediately stand out. This is not a, oh, I hope this works kind of thing. It's a, this will work. This is how you reach people. This is how you become the signal and the noise. If I were a carrier, oh my God, I would be doing this all day long. I'd be crushing. Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
and here's what I think. When I was an agent, I used to, like, one of my shticks, one of the things I would say is, hey, I'm looking out the window of my office and I can probably hit a golf ball into the lobby of four or five other insurance agents. That's how close I am, how many there are around. The reason you're choosing me is for me. So you're telling that story, or, you know, you're speaking them to them in their language. And the same thing you said about metabolic is, once then you get them in the door, then you have a good product. So that's what you're doing, is you're teeing up that, what we do best in this industry, which is still build relationships, but you got to get them to pick up the phone. You got to get them to email. You got to get them to click on the button. You got to get them to know who you are and to differentiate yourself. The way you're saying is, it's not like, hey, this is a novel idea. This is the only idea. Like, there's a million of you out there. And if you are not going to differentiate yourself and build your particular brand that allows you to build those relationships, then you're just going to be one of the many.
Rick, why do agents love referrals? Because the person is walking into the first interaction with an open mind, right? If you refer me to someone and I call that person, I'm going in with an open mind because Rick, a guy I trust, told me that this is someone that I should work with. Well, that is what contextual advertising can do for your business, because that person is walking into the relationship with an open mind because you spoke directly to them. Not a generic message, not something that was forced down their throat. You crafted a piece of content, or most likely a series of pieces of content that opened them up to you in their mind at some point, whether it was the first piece of content or the 40th piece of content. One of those interactions clicked over a tumbler in their mind that said, this person understands who I am and what I need.
That's exactly right.
That's what we're trying to do.
And if you look at this from that same perspective that I said, which is, because here's the pushback, Ryan, and you've heard this a million times. The pushback is, well, we don't have time for that. We're too busy, right? Right? Isn't that the next? Yes. I mean, that's the next part of this conversation.
Yeah.
So how do we, like, other than just yelling at people, which I'm not opposed to doing. If you listen to this, anybody listening to this podcast knows, I'll put you on the spot and say, get off your butt and do something. Ryan, I've listened to you enough to know that you are more than happy to challenge people in this regard.
Yeah.
Like if I'm out there and I'm thinking, God, this makes a lot of sense, but how do I break through that? How do I do it in my mind? How do I get myself?
Saying is I'm comfortable with my business being worth less than it should be worth. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, that's a perfect way.
That's 100% what you're saying. You know who kills this? Zach Gould and Matt Namoli from GNN Insurance, who just sold their agency. They absolutely had this so dialed in that they were just destroying. Yeah. And now they're teaching people how to do it. And they're two tremendous resources. And what you're saying, if you're unwilling to do this, like if you're going, oh, you know, I don't have the time, or, oh, you know, I need to be involved in every aspect of the business because people are buying me. What you're really saying is I'm happy or comfortable with my business being worth less than it should be. Because the long story short is, EBITDA drives an insurance agency sale. So if you have any desire to ever get out of your business, ever, whether it's in 3 years, 5 years, or 20 years, EBITDA is the driving force of that sale. And if you're not growing that business, then you are basically acquiescing to a lower valuation.
Yeah.
You're letting down your spouse, you're letting down your family, you're letting down everyone who was expecting you to ride off in the sunset with a big pile of cash. And if systems are your problem, call Billy Williams. If you're having contextual advertising, contextual messaging problems, call me, call Nick Ayers. You know, there's plenty of people that I can refer you to. If you're having, like, all the problems in your business that can keep you from doing this work are solvable. They email you, right? Like, if they're a Vertifloor client, you'll send a consultant out to them that'll help them use 5% of their agency management system.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, exactly.
There's people that will help you. It's so much easier to say, I don't have time. I'm sorry, Rick. I don't have time, man. Like, that sounds amazing, but I don't have time. Oh, you don't understand. It's hard to run a business. I'll be honest with you. I completely understand.
Yeah, you do.
Thousands, I mean, tens of thousands of agency owners. So have you. My wife is an agency owner. Many of my best friends are agency owners. Like, I literally talk to them all day long. I have an Instagram DM thing full of agency owners that I talk with all day long. Not just about insurance stuff. They're just, we're friends. But I get it. There's systems for this. And I tell you, if systems are your issue, if systematizing your business is the issue, call Billy Williams. Like, InspireNation.com.
Dr. Billy Williams.
He is the master guru of systematizing your business, and he'll fix you. If you are an MGA or a carrier, call Emily Hewling. She'll fix you. She's the best. If you're an agency, call Billy Williams. Like, there are people that can help you. You just have to get out of your own way. And I mean that in the most positive sense. Like, we all have hiccups. Like, I have the demons I deal with. You have the demons you deal with that keep you from stuff. But there are people that can help you. You just have to go out and seek that help.
Well, and before you even go out, you have to embrace the idea that you're ready. And I think the way you say that, if anybody listening in right now can answer this question, I am completely happy with where we are in the agency right now, then one, you're settled, or two, tell me where your agency is, because you're the only one in the country that's able to say that. It's time for everyone to wake up and change the way they do business, because we're talking to everybody, and we know, Ryan, you and I know, that a majority of people will not do anything. If you're one of the ones that does, man, that gives you an advantage. It puts you out in front so much farther that you can just, and you've seen it, Ryan, I've seen it. These agencies grow at such a faster clip that you are charging ahead of the competition.
Yeah. I want to say one more thing, and then I know we're getting to a time point, so I want to talk about the tactical, the really hyper tactical thing too.
Yes.
So another what's going to hang you up. So let's say people say, you know what, Ryan, challenge accepted. F you. I'm going to do this, right?
I love it.
And
I love it.
Blast forward. And here's what's going to happen. You're going to be overwhelmed with the various aspects of your business that you could potentially create improvements in. Not because you're doing things wrong. Just, you know, once your mind opens up to this new world that's out there, there are so many people that will, that can help you, and so many things that can be taken to the next level. So here's my advice. You're going to be overwhelmed, and you're going to email me, or you're going to email Rick, or you're going to email somebody, and you're going to go, I don't know what to do next. Help.
Yes, yes, yes. And then they usually don't. They usually stop and go back to their old ways.
Yeah.
So even that is an advantage. If they're going to ask for the help, that's a huge step in the right direction. So don't give up.
Don't give up.
Go ahead. I just want to jump in there.
There is an answer to this question. You can email me, ryan@ryanhanley.com, and I'm going to give you this exact answer. Pick one thing.
Yes.
Make your timetable 5 years. Not 6 months, certainly not 1 month, not 1 year. Make your timetable 5 years. That gives you 10 blocks of 6 months, right? 6 months. Pick one thing. Work on that change for 6 months. Then consider adding a second thing in, depending on how you're doing with the first. And just work in 6 month blocks for 5 years. Nobody thinks this way, except for the people that are absolutely crushing it. Because this is how they don't get overwhelmed. Pick one thing. It doesn't matter if everything else is still the same muddled, tough thing, but you now have your billing squared away. You've completely systematized your billing. So now your office manager isn't spending 75% of their time on accounting, billing, commission issues. Now that person's time opens up to start training the CSRs on the next iteration, which is how do we start automating our communications? Well, now those CSR's time is freed up, and now they can start, now we're a year and a half into the process, they can start to cross-sell and upsell umbrellas, which you've always wanted them to do, but they've never had enough time for. Well, now that you gave your office manager enough time to train the CSRs, and the CSRs now have some automations in place, which has freed up their time to spend more on the phone. They can start cross-selling umbrellas. You not only add a little bit of revenue from the umbrellas, but that third policy that gives you 92 to 94% retention. And now you're crushing it. It's been 18 months. Yes. Now you're seeing real results, more revenue, higher retention, happier customers. And that's how you go about it. One thing at a time. If you take on more than one, you will become overwhelmed and you'll go back to what you're doing. Don't do that.
Yep.
One thing at a time. And that's my
careful, Ryan. You're sounding like you're trying to teach these people how to run a business and not just sell insurance.
Well, you know, and again, I'm not the grandmaster of this. I have to listen.
No, but this is great advice. This is great advice, man. This is, I mean, I'm just over here like nodding my head and, you know, pumping my fist. This is it, man. I just want our industry to grow. I want everyone to have a chance to be great. And we have this thing we do, which is good for people. It is the best way. This independent channel is the best way for people to buy insurance, for consumers to be covered. And but you've got to take the time and the energy to run a business, to have a plan, to do what Ryan's. I love this. Like 5 years, 10 6 months blocks, plan it as you go. Like that is brilliant. I love that.
Yeah.
Okay. So what else? We got it. I want to wrap this up. You're coming back on whether you want to or not. We're going to do this again.
But it doesn't take a real big ask to get me to talk. So that's not obvious by now.
I'm shocked that we've gotten this far and you haven't mentioned the Buffalo Bills. I really am. Like I'm glad
you did. Dylan's Broncos are in trouble this week. Go Bills.
No, Dylan's a Cowboys guy.
Oh,
he's from Texas. I know.
Well, you're from Texas. I'll give that to you. Jesus. Yeah, well, the tough part for Dylan is that here's the good news, Dylan. You guys no longer have to carry the moniker of America's team since the Bills have firmly taken that from you. So just so you know that.
Wow.
Dylan. What are the colors of the American flag? Just real quick.
Answer the question.
Come on. All right. You know where I was going with that.
Yes, I do.
All right.
And Ryan's got like a phone case with a bill. I mean, he bleeds red, white, and blue bill colors.
You should have seen my son's birthday. His birthday was yesterday. And literally everything, like from pajamas to like everything that he got had the Bills logo on it. Like every toy, everything.
Oh my God.
It was so funny. Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up with, I promised everyone a very tactical thing, and you can do your own research on this. Here's the very hyper-tactical thing that you could add tomorrow that would help improve your business, and that is personalized video. Personalized video is a really simple, quick hack to add more humanity and a higher touch point or a higher value touch point to your customer interactions. And basically what I mean by personalized video is there are several tools. Vidyard, Wistia, there's a bunch of them.
Loom.
Don't worry too much about the specific tool. They all work exactly the same. Basically, they're a browser extension, which means in the thing that you look at the internet through, that box in front of your face, that's a web browser. A little button goes in there. You click it and your camera turns on, whether it's a webcam or your computer. Please don't get lost in the technology. This is super, super easy stuff. The camera turns on and you say, "Hi, Sally, thanks for calling in today. I just wanted to let you know that that car change you requested, it's all completed. You're all set. You can go to the dealership, rock and roll. So happy for you." You know what I mean? I used to have a Ford Explorer and I love those cars. Wish you nothing but the best. If you need anything else, give me a call. Have a good day. Bye. Click, turn it off. That was what, 15, 17 seconds of communication?
Yep.
Versus a three-word email or a two-word email, "All set, period, send." Which one of those is a higher value touch point? The 18-second video response or the 1 second three-word, two-word response?
Yep.
That's all I'm talking
about.
Not
even close. Yep.
This isn't revolutionary stuff. Now, the same email comes, boom. So the email that would have said "all set" and text and done, or with a 18-second video in it of one of your CSRs or you yourself. But one of those is exactly what the person expected, and one of those blows their mind and sets a new standard for you as a value provider. And
builds that relationship deepens that relationship.
It gives you cross-sell opportunities, upsell opportunities, because what you could have said is, in that video as well, once you're getting a little comfortable with the technology, is something like, "Hey, Sally, thanks again for calling in. I just want to let you know your car change is all set. Congratulations on a new car. You can go to the dealership. I used to have a Ford Explorer. They're wonderful. Hope you enjoy it. And hey, I was just looking through your account. And I noticed that you don't have an umbrella. Now that you have a new car and you got kids in the car, having a personal umbrella is probably really important. So simple. It's like $120 a month. No need to give me an answer right now, but if it's something you want to consider, I can put it together for you. No problem. Like I said, it's like it's next to nothing. You won't even notice it on your bill. Have a good day. Bye."
Yes.
Maybe you don't get so specific on the pricing or whatever, but like the purpose is, with an extra 20 seconds, you've now just dripped into that client's face the fact that they're missing a coverage, that you know they have kids, and that this coverage protects their kids, and that you can make that process super simple and easy for them, and it's not a huge amount of money out of their pocket. Now you just wrote that umbrella, the third policy on their account, which takes their retention from 72% to 92 to 94%, and you are straight balling. These are the simple things that you can do to improve your business. So you can do that tomorrow.
Okay, so Dylan's given me the time sign. So
I believe that. We blew through Dylan's 35 minutes. We blew right through that.
Just didn't even pay attention to him as we went by at 90 miles an hour. So what I do want to do though, Ryan, is I'm a fan. This stuff, even just today, I mean, this is just, you're just tipping the iceberg of ways that these our agencies can get better at what they do. I think the video thing is super underutilized and such a great opportunity, but let's talk bigger scale here. I would say if you're already following me on LinkedIn or connected with me on LinkedIn, you're getting a lot of Ryan's stuff because I'm liking and sharing the stuff he's sending as he does with other people. But Ryan, they got to get you on LinkedIn. Is that the best way to get your content, to get in touch with you? What's the best way?
Yeah, I put a lot of content work into LinkedIn. If you just want to communicate, Instagram and Twitter are great too. Just search Ryan Hanley. I'm Ryan Hanley _com on Twitter. But you have to deal with some of my
language. You're R-rated.
Yeah, it's like I'm very business. As close to as I get to businessy is on LinkedIn. But if you have a question, comment, you just want to contact me, Ryan@ryanhanley.com is my email, completely open. You can text me. Please don't call me, but you're happy to text me 518-813-0754 or just go to my website, ryanhanley.com. I mean, I'm here for you guys. This is why I do this work. Obviously I get paid for things too, but like, I just like to help. So,
well, and it's obvious, Ryan. I mean, it just comes through in your passion that you're here to help. And I can vouch for Ryan that if you send him a note, he responds and he gets a lot of notes, and that means he's spending a lot of time helping people. So, like I said, man, so glad to have you back. So excited that we were able to do this. We will do more. We'll get back into one of those roundtable things that we used to do when I was at Agency Revolution, where we're batting stuff around. But also, for those of you, like, we get the whole spectrum here. We get the spectrum of somebody that we keep talking to that is not doing anything, but we've got agencies and carriers and people that are out there that are way farther along their journey. Then you definitely need to reach out to Ryan, because now you can have real strategic conversations with him and what he's doing now with his business to take you well beyond even the levels you're seeing and results that you're getting now. So Ryan, my man, thank you so much for being on. I'm going to end this the way I always end, with one question. We're going to record this next bit here. We're going to bury it. Somebody's going to dig it up in a year or whenever. It's Ryan Hanley's one big piece of advice for the industry.
Action is the answer. Do the work.
I love it. I love it. My man, Ryan, thank you so much for being on. We will talk soon. And again, just such a fan. Thank you for doing this.
You're the best, dude. Be good, man.
All right. See you, Ryan.
Thank you for listening to the Vertifor Insurance Podcast, and tune in next Thursday for a brand new episode. You can find more episodes at vertifor.com under the resources tab or wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, share it on social and spread the word. Don't forget to join in on the conversation and recommend future guests by messaging us at Vertifor.